Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Thank you, Preston. Thank you, Preston. Thank you, musicians. We bless the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for bringing us to this hour. Speak through our mouth, Lord. And bless all of us. Teach us yourself. Increase our faith. Teach us how to resist doubt and the devil. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Thank the Lord for that testimony of Sister Obi. Ah, I'm so grateful. Praise to the Lord. And brethren, don't take prayer lightly. The Lord has been merciful to all of us. There is a song in Yoruba land where I came from. I will translate to English to you guys. He said, when you think your own trouble is so much, when you hear the trouble of the other people, you'll be saying, ah, thank you, Lord. You'll be saying, ah, thank you, Lord. We heard about testimonies of Ambariku. That was, ah, not so. We hear testimony of Etukudo, his wife. Ah, thank you, Lord. Now you hear this testimony of Sister Obi. Ah, you don't know what people are going through. So you have to say, when you hear, everybody have some little here, little there, but when you hear the trouble of some bad people, you say, oh, thank you, Jesus, that he delivered them. He delivered them. So sometimes you have to even hide your own and say, well, my response is nothing if I'm hearing this one. Praise the Lord. So we thank the Lord for that great testimony that the Lord has done. I know somebody brought the prayer request during that time to our little group. I think Sister Esther, Philani, most have reached. We also pray for them. So the Lord is good in his mercy toward us. Now today I want to talk on faith versus doubt. Faith versus doubt. I'll give some few examples of testimonies that I will consider the scriptures. Because the Lord taught us faith. Taught us faith. But many times we have problems. We human beings, we have problems. Which we call doubt. And that's what I'm going to more or less say. It's going to be a form of teaching, not a preaching. A teaching is when you are bringing some Bible verses, explaining it, not just talking. So I'm going to first go to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. That is where I'm going to dwell on today, from 23 to 25. Faith versus doubt. Praise the Lord. Now, there is what we call saving faith, which everybody that is born again, you have faith. Don't say, I don't have faith. Oh, that brother has so much faith. No, everybody has been dealt a measure of faith. Let's look at that before. You see that in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Every human being, every believer, you are dealt a measure of faith. Apostle Paul said, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So every believer, you have a measure of faith that make us to be saved in the first place, that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is a faith. That you believe in, you are saved from your sin when you are born again is faith. So that's the measure of faith that is called saving faith. Of course, there is what we call special faith. When you look at the gospel or the letter of Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he was mentioning the gifts of the Holy Ghost, then you see faith also mentioned there, which is called special faith, which you will need Holy Ghost to manifest to do some supernatural things. But that is in addition to the general faith of everybody else. Okay? But now, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, let's read what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to us about. In this Mark chapter 11, verse 23, you will see the leading story was that the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was going towards Jerusalem, the Bible says he was kind of hungry, so he saw a fig tree. So he branched off the road to go check out that fig tree and get some food. And he got to the fig tree that was just full of leaves, no single fruit on it. And you know the rest of the story, the Lord just looked at it and said, well, no man eats fruit from the earth for forever. Now you can say, well, that if you, I'm going to more or less slowly come down. I want to listen, limit this to about 30 minutes because we're going to do breaking of bread after this. But I will pray that the Lord will help me to limit it to 30 minutes of teaching. Now you remember, I know when you go to my house, backyard, you see some trees, small trees that are some orange. Even the orange that is blossoming with leaves, you may still get there and see some fruit that is old time, the previous harvest. You may still get something. Maybe that's why the Lord went there. The Bible said the time of the fig was not yet time for it to produce fruit. You see, but he was expecting if you can get the old one. There was nothing there, so that's why he put a curse on that tree. Now that was, and then he left. He went to Jerusalem. So he was going to teach faith by that story. When the Bible said they were coming back the second day, the Lord must have purposely went by that tree so that the apostles can see what is faith. So you can read your story from the beginning of 11 chapter 11. I'm just paraphrasing it. But what he told them is what we are trying to talk about in verse 23. And he said, oh, Master, about I think it was in Matthew or Luke, said, look, Peter said, Master, look at the tree that you caused. So withered away. They were excited. Which means when he caused that tree yesterday, looked like nothing happened. Nothing happened. They didn't see anything. And that is what we are going to learn from about faith. About faith. You know, even if you are not, you know, in the normal life, you can go to your backyard and see a branch of tree. Cut the branch off. And you leave the branch with the leaves on the floor. The branch seems to be okay. Nothing wrong with the leaves will still be green. But go away, come back tomorrow, then you see the leaves are no more green. They are dried off. That is what faith is all about. That's what he was trying to teach them. When he calls that tree, like nothing happened. They left. But to make them know what faith is all about, that sometimes it will not be instant. And we are expecting instant something many times. Many times we love instant miracles. You go to somebody, you see a lame man on a wheelchair. Because you have read in your head, you have read in the Bible, Jesus Christ just spoke, or the apostles just spoke, and this lame man walked. And then you try to exercise his faith, you pray for the lame man, seems to be not walking. You were expecting instant, jump up and walk, and it's not happening. What happened to us? If we gave up and we left thinking we have no power. And when you begin to change your mind, the devil stays. The Lord showed me that many times in my experiences in life. I've been doing this for since I was just 20. Where I saw somebody, I said, come out of him. And the devil looked at me and said, you are talking to me? And they ran away. Well, and I was thinking, well, he didn't obey me. Many years ago, I said, why did you say he didn't obey you? Because he didn't jump and run down the floor and be rolling on the floor as I was expecting. He could go away 3 days later, left. I didn't know because I was not standing there to see what happened 3 days later. But see, faith is like that. Don't, when you pray, you say, believe. That's what we are going to read here. Now, let's read it. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. Now, start seeing the clauses. The first thing, and shall not doubt in his heart. That's the first clause. And shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Shall come to pass. He doesn't say shall happen instantly. shall come to pass. So from there, you know, there's a time frame involved. He shall have whatsoever he says. Everybody wants that to happen, but see, I'm trying to make us to see that there are many things that are process. That's really what he's trying to teach us. If it doesn't happen instantly, don't think it will not happen. But where your faith is to stand firm and say, I have said it, it must be so. Will it be tomorrow? Will it be next week? He didn't give you a time reference on this. But faith is very important that you anchor on that faith, on your word of God. If you anchor on it, it will happen. That's what he shall have whatever he said. So I have sermons on my website that talks on this over and over again. He said, you shall have what you say. But he said, believe what you say shall come to pass. Believe your own word. Believe your own word. So these are all things. That's not what I'm talking about today, but I'm trying to say I have preached more or less a teaching on this particular Bible verse in some of my video on demand. If you go to my website or my video on demand channel, you will see sermons on this. We are teaching. That believe what you say. Many times we don't even believe what we say. So that is very important. But now what I'm really trying to talk about is, where does doubt come into play? What I just described to you here, when I said, after you commanded it and it does not happen instantly, you begin to think it does not obey you. That devil does not obey you. When you begin to think that way, you are doubting yourself. You are doubting your authority. So that's an example of doubt. Because I'm comparing faith with doubt. Faith with doubt. Now, let's look at this. Well, I'm going to come back to this verse 24 and 25, because they are very loaded. But let's look at this same story in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Because when you talk about faith, there is an aspect of faith that we need to talk about, which, if I'm not going ahead of myself. But I want to talk about faith and fasting. What has that got to do? What does fasting got to do with your faith? That's why I'm trying to bring the two together here. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, it was a similar story. If you go ahead, before this, 21, they were talking about the same story where he commanded the devil and the tree and the withered away, and they asked him, and he was telling them, "You, because of your unbelief," or something like that. Then he mentioned in this place, albeit means by the way. That's what albeit means to me. This is not the tree. This is another time when they were casting out devils. The apostles were there, except three of them went with the Lord Jesus Christ to the mountain. That's Matthew chapter 17 story. They went to the mountain and came back overnight, the second day. And the nine apostles that were left, somebody brought a son that was lunatic to this apostle, that he should cast the devil out. And those apostles, nine of them, were trying their best. And they have gone out to do the same thing. They have done miracles. They have casted out devils when Jesus Christ sent them out. But now, yes, a case. And they tried and tried and tried. And the devil was screaming, yelling, and rolling. And, you know, the scribes, the Pharisees, came back shouting at them, "You couldn't hold it." I remember somebody did that to me some time ago when I was in Nigeria. He said, "Stop it. If you have this power, you tell this man to stand up now." Chiding me. That was what was happening to the apostles on that day. The Bible said the scribes came by questioning them because the devil didn't leave. And they tried everything they knew. Then that was about the time the Lord Jesus Christ with Peter, James, and John came down and met them there. The first thing, what are you asking my disciples? That's what the first thing he asked the scribes. So when they saw Jesus, they kept their mouth shut. And then the man that brought the son said, "Master, this is what is the situation. I brought my son for you to heal them, and the disciples couldn't do it." And the Lord just rebuked the disciples, and In the end, you read the whole story. He said he sent the devil out. Then the disciples came privately and asked him, why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we do it? Which you and I should be asking us in the Lord many times if you have any issue with something like that. And the Lord said, the first thing he told them was because of your unbelief. Verse 20. Give me verse 20 of that same chapter 17. I mean, when they came to Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ privately and said, why couldn't we cast that devil out? What was wrong? Finally, we did some demons before. And Jesus Christ said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, you see that same Bible verse was quoting the same thing we read in Mark. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Well, you say, well, he said the unbelief, what? If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, I thought we thought we have faith, that's why they even believe in him. Not so. You have to believe, before they can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have some faith. Because there are many that don't even follow him. So he's saying there are different levels of faith. Not so. There's a measure of faith that everybody has to just believe. But he's saying, well, they still have unbelief. And he said, if you have a great one that is just a small, so which means the one they have that saved them, that make them to follow him, was not even as big as grain of mustard seed. They bet you can be, you'll be able to do this if you have that grain of mustard. Then he gave verse 21. That's really what I'm trying to compare, to make it to see the link between little faith, no faith at all, and A. It's my trying to give them a hint. It's a hint. By the way, albeit this kind went not out but by prayer and fasting. You know, Jesus Christ didn't preach much about fasting. In fact, the disciples of John the Baptist came to him and said, you guys are just eating. We fasted. The Pharisees are fasting. We disciples are, you guys are just eating. They told Jesus Christ, your disciples are not fasting. Because they thought fasting is the only way you can get this thing done. But Jesus Christ said, when the bridegroom is gone, they shall fast. But right now, they don't need to. He has done all the fasting. The Lord Jesus has done all the fasting that he needed to do, 40-day fasting. But he didn't teach them and say, you must fast. No, he let them alone. He said, but when I am gone, they will fast. So to make them know that it's going to be necessary, he put his albeit for them. Albeit this kind. That means this kind of situation. That devil. We need that kind of fasting and praying to handle it. But what does fasting and praying do? Not that when you see the boy brought his sickness and say, come and catch the devil, you say, okay, let me go fast. No, it's not saying that. You've got to fasted all along. You be a fasting Christian. A lifestyle of fasting. Or you have done your fast, 40-day fasting before you even start your ministry. That's what the Lord was talking about. Because these apostles have never fasted. They were feasting according to what the Bible recorded. So he said, bow be this kind, telling the apostles, you need to fast after I'm gone. So what are we doing this weekend? It's called fasting weekend. And you know, that's in our church. This is GMI church. We do it once a month. Well, that is a training to make us know that we need to be doing this lifestyle of fasting. But that's not going to cut it. When you talk about this kind that the Lord was talking about. But that was not my topic. My topic is not fasting. Go to my website. You see many things about fasting. About it. But it was giving us a hint that fasting is going to be necessary when you want to deal with situations. If you want to be able to deal with situations like that. Okay. But what does the fasting do for us? Now, I come back to the faith and doubt. Faith and doubt. I'm trying to make you see the correlation. Comparing what is faith and how does our doubt hinder us from getting something done. What fasting we do is it trims your soul down to be able to quench that doubt. Because what is doubt? Doubt is a kind of an emotional thing that comes because of what you see, following the eyesight, or what you have been hearing in the news, and all those things that make you not to be able to exercise your authority. You are afraid. Or it could be fear, it could be walking by sight. These are all the things that create doubt. That means what we are used to. Take, for example, if somebody come with a machete, and you know, it's man, this is a mad person, and he's going to cut, and he just cut somebody in his head over there. And you say, you have faith. You say, I'm going to command this mad person to put this machete down. And it's coming straight towards you. What will make you to fear? Because you know what machete does. Because you have seen that man cut somebody down there. But you have now have faith and doubt. That's where it becomes. Do I have the faith of Jesus? Let me go command this machete person. But it's coming straight at you. Now, where do you stand? You can say, I command this fellow, but if some train of doubt, fear is in you, that is nullifying the faith. That fear of the machete is nullifying that faith. So that is where, but your fasting is to crucify the flesh. The fasting, you say, this can't go on by fasting. The fasting crucify the flesh that is reacting to what you know will happen if this faith does not work. And you are reacting to it. And that's why you are afraid. Even though you are commanding, put at this time, but you are ready to run. See, that is going to crush the faith. So you see what I mean by doubt and faith. They don't mix. But the fasting is to crucify that flesh that it does not rise up at all. The way, gee, this man can cut the man down with your faith. And the faith that the doubt has been crushed, the Lord will respond. Because you are dealing with the Lord God that is seeing everything. He is the one that is going to make this thing happen. He is the one that is going to arrest the situation. But your doubt is handicapping the Lord. Your doubt is more handicapping the Lord. So that is why he said, if you don't doubt, the Mark chapter 11 that we read, you say unto this mountain, believe in your heart what you said. You don't doubt in your heart. Because that doubt in your heart is, I always use another example to describe this in our generation. You have a cell phone. Also, everybody has a cell phone. And there's what we call voice activation. You want to activate. You can turn your cell phone and call Google, or if your own is iPhone, Siri, and you speak to it. So your voice is going to activate something. What is the capital of Kenya? You know it will tell you. Capital of Kenya. But suppose he couldn't get what you said. What is the capital of Kenya? No. So that's doubt. You just module it up. So if Google or Siri does not understand what you said. So that is how your faith also can be confused by the doubt. You don't know whether you mean it. That's why I said, believe what you see shall come to pass. So that is another example of how to describe what doubt will do to our faith if we let it. So there are some subtle form of doubt also that we need to, but fasting lifestyle or a long fast that you have done before, destroy those doubts and make your faith to be steady and make your faith to not doubt. Because doubt is reduced because of the crucifying of the flesh. So fasting is one way to do that. Now, let me go to one or two things that we, before I get too far. Here's an example. Let me give you a small testimony. When I say, what is doubt? An example, let me give an example. I just say suppose now because I'm not giving my own testimony. Suppose you wanted to go do something, and there's a rain is about to start. Gee, I need to do this thing. So you command, because you are a believer, you are a Christian, you command that this rain must not fall in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just commanded, this rain must not fall. Jesus, stop this rain for me. I need to do this outside. And as you're about to start, a voice reminded you, oh, by the way, you have umbrella in the car. Umbrella. What's umbrella for? For the rain. Oh, yeah. And you went to get the umbrella. What did you just do? Said your authority. That's what doubt is. I had that similar experience, not similar, the same experience I just gave to you in Nigeria when I was still preaching about. I drove to a place, I'm parking my car, and most of the time, because in Nigeria, rain is common. So I have a small umbrella under the passenger seat in my car. But I forgot that umbrella on that day, and I have to drive to a place and walk about half a mile because the road won't get there. I need to inform somebody that, hey, we have baptism. We have to do baptism for everybody, and you wanted to do baptism. So come also today. We are going to do baptism tomorrow. But I was announcing it to this lady. In those days, there's no phone. Somebody said, why don't you call him by phone? No phone in those days. Wonder, how do you guys live when there's no cell phone? And me and my wife always talk about that. How do we live without cell phone in those days? Even in the 1980s. In America, come to the airport, how do they know you're coming? You may have to get there and wait and wait and wait and find out they're delayed. Oh, it's no more coming today. Tomorrow, you go back home. But right now, you can just call on the phone. So that's for these younger people. They don't know what you are talking about when you say, why didn't you call on the phone? Why do you have to drive? Okay, that was what was the story. Got there, parked, I need to walk, and I saw the cloud. It's so heavy. And the wind blowing, I said, it's going to rain before I get there. It's going to wet. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, no rain until I go to that place. And I'm going to walk back. I'm going to walk over there. In Jesus' name. And I was about to get out and close the door. The devil reminded me, oh, boy, you don't need to pray. It's an umbrella. Oh, yeah, umbrella. Pick it up. Then the Lord reminded me, if you pick out an umbrella, you just cancel the prayer. What? I have to decide which one do I want to do. Do I want to believe the umbrella or believe my prayer I just said before I shut off the car? So I said, I call this one damn the consequence. So I threw the umbrella down. I said, I'm going to damn the consequence. I'm going to go. If it's drench me, I'm ready. But no rain. And I left. I went, walked there and came back, and there was no rain. In fact, the rain just blew away. No, the cloud just disappeared. They were just teaching me. God was teaching me what is faith and what is doubt by that example. Because over and over and over, because I was preaching from village to village, and I ran into that over and over and over again. Got to a town, and I got to the town, and I was spreading my wires, because in those days, I was no more using the permanent speaker. Because when I was using the Jeep, I have a permanent speaker on the Jeep, so I only need to turn it on. But when I got rid of the small Jeep and I was using my regular car, we get to a village, I will pull the amplifier out, spread the wires, get the speakers, put it on the top of the car. And while I was doing that, the market, everybody was running, rain. And the devil said, you're not going to preach here today. See, everybody is running away from the market. The rain is... The cloud is heavy, the wind is blowing, and now I'm spreading my wires to preach. He said, stop, Christ. And I said, no, this rain must stop. I must preach here today until I leave. No rain. They said, And the market was scattering. I just adamantly kept spreading the wire. That could take me 15 minutes just to get the wires out and turn this thing on and connect this thing to the battery. Because I refused to stop spreading the wire, somebody will say, well, why just wait? Wait and see whether the rain will obey you. And stop the wire. No, if you wait, then you doubted your authority. So you see what faith and doubt is? You adamantly say, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to keep spreading my wire. And that was it. I spread the wire and the rain just kind of disappeared. No rain, not even a single drop. And people went back to their market. And I stayed there for another 1 hour preaching. But the Lord was just showing that, using that to tell me what faith is, what doubt is in those days. And it went on and on. So these are examples of what it means when you say faith and doubt. You can bring that to your own level when you are trying to do something. Ideas will come to counteract what you are trying to do that you are believing God for. Ideas from the devil. We call it the devil. Could be what you have learned, what you know, what you have seen in the world, And what does the Bible say? That's why he said we are to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Put that one up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That is, if you're going to be victorious, you've got to be walking by faith and not by sight. And what I've just described to you, those examples of doubt, they are the walking by sight. I saw the cloud, yeah. I saw the wind. I saw everybody running. That's walking by sight. Even though I've commanded there will be no rain, that will make those things happen to dissuade you, to make you change. And if you don't change, then you are walking by faith. And the Lord that is going to make it happen is watching. Just follow the Psalms. If you doubt, you walk the way. But if you don't doubt, the devil is around trying to make you doubt. If you don't doubt, then the Lord will just make it happen. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. So that is what faith and doubt, why I'm bringing this today, to make you see that sometimes when you look at yourself and say, why didn't this happen? Go back and check. Why didn't I pray, when I pray like this, why didn't it happen the way I was expecting? Go back and check. Maybe there was a doubt somewhere. Some undeclared doubt. You have to check yourself and say, that's what the apostles say. Why couldn't we cast that devil out? And he says, it's unbelief. They may not see the unbelief, but if they look back, they might find that while they were commanding that devil, something was registering in their mind. In their mind. That is making them to doubt their authority. Or maybe because they see the devil scream and yell and they think, well, he's not obeying us. And when you say, oh, he's not obeying us, then you just doubt your authority. I remember if somebody, this is my wife, forgive me for God gives. I remember when my little boy was small. He was maybe 5 years old. And my wife told me that when I spank the boy, it seems like he's not feeling it. But the girls, when I spank the girls, they're screaming. So she thought, spanking does not affect this boy. I said, no, it's just tougher. It's trying to make you feel that he didn't feel it, so you give up. But the girls, before you spank them, they are screaming and yelling and screaming. So he thought, well, they are responding to our spanking them. But the boy, it's like, so I said, well, I'll show you. Pull the boy's ear. Go do it. The boy now say, my mommy is my friend. No, it's not your friend. He's telling you to do it. So what I'm trying to say is that there are some spirits that are going to disobey. And they want to disobey, but you have to stand firm. That's what the Lord is saying. This kind, great under by prayer and fasting. Just an example. The same way, the boy that you think is not feeling it, he feels the pain, but he is having more, he resists the pain more. So that's why he's not crying like the girls. See what I'm saying? So what I'm saying then is, you got to maintain your stand. You've got to stand firm when it comes to faith. That's what faith is teaching us. That yes, faith says, I'm an overcomer. And I have the authority of Jesus, and I'm not going to bow. Though the devil is screaming and yelling, looks like it's not obeying, but I have said it. It will happen. I remember a testimony of a man of God said. He said he commanded his spirit to come out on Saturday, and it looked like nothing happened. And they wheeled this woman away. Then 2-3 days later, they came back saying, this devil is coming back to this woman. She's now rolling on the floor. Everything is screaming. And they came back to the pastor again. Pray, pray, pray. He said, Saturday was when he decreed the word of command has been given on Saturday. That devil has to leave. I don't need to pray anymore. So don't remember when Jesus Christ cast some devils out, they first roll and knock the person on the floor. He said, that's what's happening. It's happening 3 days later. But many of us, we think it has to open that day right before us. Then we know it's up, you know, it's responding. No, he said, 3 days later. He said, when that tearing the woman down is done, the day will never come back. And that was what happened. It took 3 days before it started manifesting. So we are learning from other people's experiences and saying, yeah, that's what God is saying. Say it. Believe what you say shall come to pass. Don't doubt in your heart. and you shall have what you see. Amen? Now, let's go back to Mark chapter 11, verse 24, before I wrap it up. Because I'm looking at Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Now, in this verse 24, the Lord was giving us another caveat. The first one, he said, just say to this mountain, don't doubt what you say. Believe what you say shall come to pass. You shall have what you say. He didn't even say pray. He said, just say it. So there are some things you just speak. You don't need to be praying. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. The first one, he said, just say to the mountain. The mountain can be your sickness. The mountain can be the job you are looking for. The mountain can be the devil you are casting out. You are casting the devil out. You are saying to the mountain. Those are saying. But now, this one, you are praying. When you pray, you are praying to God, the Father. Father, do this for me. You are not talking to the situation, you are talking to the Father. And there's a different caveat. Look at that. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray. When you pray, you are talking to the Father. Whatever you desire. First time, you have to desire this thing seriously. Believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. So that's another, there are clauses in that. Believe you receive them means when you pray, believe you got it now because the Father is hearing you. You tell the Father, that is not talking, you are not talking to the mountain, you are talking to the Father. When you are talking to the mountain, you are not even praying, you are saying, I'm a son of God. You mountain, move. Then you believe what you say shall come to pass. And now this one, you say you are praying to the Father. What you desire yourself, this is what I want, Father. I want you to do this for me. But he said, believe you receive them. That is many times where many of us fail. We may say, I thank you, Lord. If you know you have received them, you should begin to thank him also. Thank you, Lord. I believe you, I received them. I believe I received them. He said, you shall have them. Now, you shall have them is now a time, it's another time frame that he didn't tell you you have it right now. They say you believe you receive them because sometimes when the Lord says, here it is, it's in the spirit. But it has not manifested to the physical. But you want it to manifest to the physical also. And that is the, you shall have them. But you can shortcut that if you doubt. I use it like an arrow. Father, shoot. And the Father says, okay, release the arrow. And before the arrow gets to the target, there's a time delay, not so, in the physical world. Get a bow and arrow, and you shoot at the target. When you shoot the arrow is flying. You say, well, nothing can turn that arrow back. It's going to hit the target. But in the spirit world, your doubt can turn the arrow back. Understand that. And that is why you are not to doubt. Believe you have received them, then begin to thank him that I receive it. Thank you, Jesus. But 2 days later, it's still not happened yet. What do you do? Start praying all over again? That's where we make a mistake. We make a mistake and say, well, gee, you didn't hear me yesterday. Father, I said, give it to me. No, that's doubt. What you should maintain is, I prayed here last week and I thank you because I receive it. Keep saying I receive it. Because it's flying, the arrow is flying, it's going to hit the target. And like I say, in the spirit world, that arrow can turn back or miss the target. Why? Because you doubt it. Just flip the target. So remember that. Don't doubt. You say, believe you receive them, but begin to thank him for as long as you are still waiting. Unless you don't believe you receive them when you pray. So believe you receive them, then you shall have them. So that is the second caveat that I want to point out when it comes to faith and then doubt. Now, verse 25 is where we are going to wrap it up. Matthew chapter verse 25. Now, what do you see? What is the first word in that verse? What is the first word? And, which means the Lord was not done yet. That's a conjunction. What I said just now, and so it's going to give us some more clue for getting your prayers answered. And when you start praying, when you are talking to the Father, Forgive. If you have aught against any, well, we all have problem in that situation. We all have problem in that ridiculous verse. People will have said, well, why did you put this one here? Look like we're not going to get anything. Forgive. The key thing. Why? Because you're asking the Father, who is love, God is love, to do something for you. To go out of his way to get you something. They say, well, you do this for me also. You do this for me. His Father is telling you to do this for him. If I want you, you want the Father to do this for you, but you do this for me. Forgive. Why do you say, well, that man hurt me. I can't forgive him. Just give me what I want. No. Because the man that hurt you so much that you don't want to forgive, you don't know God is using that man perhaps to bring you to your glory. Many times we don't realize that. Remember the story of Joseph in Egypt. His brothers hated him so much they wanted to kill him because he said, I had a dream. You are going to be bound to me. Ah, you don't want to say that. He's the youngest of the 11. So they said, let's get rid of this dreamer. And then when someone said, don't kill him, just sell him out of the father's. When they thought it was in our father's house, we are going to be bound down to you. How much more he has already been behaving like that? The father loves him more than everybody else. Oh, just made them to hate him. Then he's having a dream that God is saying, you are going to bind unto me. Ah, that's double. So they wanted to get rid of him from their father's house. So they sold him to slavery. Well, he could have hated them, of course, human nature. But see, God used those hatred, those boys' heart for Joseph, to get Joseph to become prime minister. Because if he was still in his father's house, he would never get to Egypt. They don't have a university there to go and learn something there. And his father loved him so much that he wouldn't even let him get out of his sight. So the only way he could get out of his father's house was for those boys to sell him. But how can they sell him? They have to hate him so much. So sometimes God uses this man that you think is doing this evil to you. God, indirectly now, because God does not do evil, but indirectly, is using them to bring you to glory. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If there was no crucifixion, you and I would not be saved. You and I that are sitting today, the world will not be saved. But the Jews have to hate him so much to crucify him. They have to. Because if they didn't hate him, suppose the high priest and others who just believe in him, there was no crucifixion going to be allowed. Nothing. Let's just make you king. We all love you, no? That's why he may allow them to hate him so much. And he said, crucify this man. And when Pilate said, this man has done nothing wrong. He said, if you let this man go, we are going to report you to Caesar. That's what you are saying. That you are not Caesar's friend. So they hated him so much, they crucified him. But you see, God was using that to bring the whole world back to him. Otherwise, we will not be saved. So what I'm saying then is, when God said, forgive, that's why I say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. That does not mean that they will not be punished, but see, you forgive them. That is for you. Me and you, we have to forgive. God say, do this for me, because if you are not forgiving them, it's like you are not forgiving the Father that is using those people to do those things. Because if the Lord does not allow those people to hate Christ, there will be no crucifixion. If the Lord did not allow the brothers of Joseph to hate him so much, to sell him into slavery, there will be no saving of Egypt. And he was being sent, according to the Bible, he was sent to Egypt to save even his parents, his family, and the rest of the world. So remember why God said, do this for me. Forgive. Forgive that man. Forgive that woman. That you know is the one that is behind it, or he let you get fired. He did this to you and you are hating him or her. So you forgive. Then I can do anything you ask for you. Praise the Lord. So this is a key thing when it comes to answered prayer. So as I was talking now, you may recollect somebody that you know you have problem with, you have not forgiven him or her. You do not know is hindering that man, not that man, that unforgiveness is what is hindering your prayer. not the man, you may not know about it, not the woman, not this person, not that person. The devil may be using those people, right? We are not saying they are not responsible. They may be responsible. They may be really doing it. The devil is using them. But God is saying, forget about those. Just forgive them so that I can answer your prayer, because God is going to use whatever they were doing wrong against you to bring you closer to himself, bring you to that glory, because we are all shooting for a glory to be sons of God. Remember that. And that is what the Lord wanted to think about. And I'm going to wrap it up right now, because I want to short it to 30 minutes, because we're going to do breaking of bread in a few minutes. Now, with all of those said, let me point to one particular thing here that the Lord wanted us to remember also. Before I go there, let's go back to this story of the Hebrews. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 31 and 32. Just talk a little bit about faith and doubt also. Between faith and doubt, still on the same level. Numbers chapter 13, we know the story of these Israelites when they were in the wilderness. And Moses told them to go and spy the land and bring result. And we know the rest of the story. Many of you are Bible scholars. Two of them brought good result or good report. Joshua and Caleb. And the rest of the 10, they brought evil reports, is what the Bible called them. Now, what can we learn from this? These people that brought good report, they were saying, they saw the same thing, they saw the giants. The land was good, yeah, but they saw these giants, and they said, well, our God has said we are going to own this land. Let's go get it. So they were seeing God. They were following God. While these other people, the 10, they saw the giants. They saw the land is good, but these giants, thinking, we cannot handle these giants. So they were not seeing God. They were seeing their strength and their muscles. And what is that? The doubt of what you have seen, what you know about the giants, that these are 10 feet tall, they are taller than us, we are like grasshoppers before them. That is the doubt, what you can see. They are walking by sight. While Caleb and Joshua are walking by faith, that, hey, God has said we own this place, giant or no giant. So you see God in your situation, and you confess God in your situation, and that is faith. While the other people that were seeing, they are forgetting God, they are seeing the situation, which is the giants. They say, yeah, it's a good land, but see, the giants are so huge. Oh, look, they are looking at themselves. We are like grasshoppers. So that you are looking at the situation. Don't look at the situation. Look at the God that is bigger than every situation. That is what faith is, how you exercise your faith, to look at him and consider him that is bigger than anything else. And keep confessing it. Keep confessing it. That is your deliverance, is that you are confessing this God that is mightier, not considering the situation. Remember that. Now, I wanted to wrap it up with 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Apostle Paul warned us, because that is for the whole Gentile world to know. Apostle Paul, I'm going to go through it really quickly. And he listed what happened to the people in the wilderness that we are talking about. So, moreover, brethren, from verse 1, I will not have you to be ignorant how that all our fathers, that is all these Israelites, all the believers, call them believers, all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Go on. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual drink, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5 is what we are going from, verse 5 to the next few verses. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, that is the same thing we have to think about. Say, we want God to be well pleased with us. So he's listing some of these things they did wrong in the wilderness that God was not well pleased, which we need to take heed unto. And that's why I want to talk about faith and doubt. But if you let your doubt be overruling your faith, God is not going to be well pleased. Because say, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And you see, he said, these people in the wilderness, God was not well pleased because of all these things they were doing. And many of times we think that what you are doing is just the sin that is well known sin. But you see, this faith and doubting that we just described in a nutshell, to God, if you keep doubting him, it's like a sin to him. A sin is something that is not pleasing to the God, to the Father also. So if you keep doubting and dropping faith, it's not going to be well pleasing to him either. You see, that's not like those who went and committed adultery. That's not like those who went and really steal. But see, if you keep doubting and not exercising faith, then you're not going to be well pleased to the Lord either. So that's why we want to see this that Apostle Paul was telling us here in verse 6. He said they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples. To the intent, we should not lust after evil things as they also lost. The first thing he mentioned was the lust, which you know, lust brings all the sin that we everybody know this one as sins, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and that make them to want this more than what God wants them to have. Now he's calling it lust. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. What does that mean? That means they are worshiping self, idolatry. They worship self. Because they ate and drank and started to play. But you have to go back to the stories in the Bible to see what were they actually doing that God said. That is in Exodus chapter 32, verse 6. And it went further to become, I actually have this as a separate sermon where I wanted to analyze these things that they did and how we can overcome those things. But now the Lord said, well, just talk about faith and doubt. So I'm more turning to, because he said this is for our examples, so that the end of the world has come upon us. But consider this chapter 10 and what Apostle Paul listed as warning to us. Here he went further, he said, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 320,000. That was verse 8. Well, fornication, we know what is fornication. Spiritual fornication, we mean worshiping something else. God is supposed to be the bridegroom for the church. The bridegroom for the church is God. So anytime God is talking about spiritual fornication, means the church is now worshiping or honoring the rulers of the world. The rulers, which is the big men, that will be called spiritual fornication, which some churches are already guilty of. Because when you begin to want to please the mayor, the governor, let's say the president is coming to town and he's going to visit this church. And you begin to roll red carpet as if God is going to visit. Well, that's becoming worshiping of what? Men. So you can extrapolate that. That's an example. Because that is what it will boil down to when it comes to spiritual fornication. We're not talking of physical one. Now, he says some of them committed fornication and they were all destroyed. Verse 9 says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Now, there are some cases where we can go back into the Bible, give us some faith. But where does faith stand? Are we tempting God if you ask for this? Am I tempting God if I ask for that? Or how do I tempt God here? And that's why I said this is going to be another sermon some other time, because I have a bunch of things to say about this one. Now he also said, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now murmuring is another example of what they did in the wilderness, in that they were, what does murmuring mean? Discontent. Dissatisfied with the situation, with what is going on. And Moses said, well, I'm not the one leading you guys. It's God that said you go this way. But they were not well pleased with this direction, the way they were going. Things are not going the way they expected it. So they come murmuring. Murmuring is that they were now saying it behind Moses. They were crying and murmuring behind Moses, and Moses could hear them crying and groaning, and Moses was pissed off. He said, well, gee, this body is too much for me. I'm not the father of all these people. So they said, Moses, you are not murmuring against me. I'm murmuring against God who is leading us. So that is what murmuring will do. And we have a slew of stories and examples that we are going to, but let's just summarize it. Now, all these things happen unto them for our examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now, that is where how to overcome all of these murmuring and things happen. Verse 13. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. If God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But with the temptation, also make a way to escape, as you may be able to bear it. So I'm going to wrap it up with it, without going further into these examples of how to overcome all this murmuring, tempting, and simple fornication and lust and so on. Let's leave that for another time. But he said, no temptation has come upon you that is not common to man. Just like I said, you hear this man's testimony and say, wow, that was happening in their life. Oh God, have mercy. You also have your own problem. You have that testimony. Wow, that it is common to man. But God is promising us that he is going to stand and no temptation come over that is talking. Say, God, we make a way of escape. So all we need to do is to look for that way of escape so that we are able to bear it. Praise the Lord. And the Lord, sometimes the Bible said, the Lord will allow people to go through something that he knows with the things he has provided you be able to bear it. There's a song that I listened to, I like it. It was a Nigerian song where this Christian musician Nigerian saying, the cross that you are called to bear, the bigger the cross, the bigger your glory. See the Lord Jesus Christ, see the cross he has to bear. Can you suffer that cross for you to be nailed to the tree? With shame and also, he said, the glory he was going into was so huge. He was going to become the king of the universe. If your cross is so small, which is everybody's carrying a cross. Everybody, you and I, we are also carrying a cross. Whatever God calls you that you are suffering now, is a form of a cross. If your cross is so small, you have to carry it and be successful. Your glory also may be just small, but at least if you succeeded in carrying the cross, you get into your glory. If your cross is so huge, that means God is calling you to a bigger glory. When you overcome and you carry that cross successfully, the glory is going to be great also. So that is what you should remember. And God said he's faithful. Will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So that Bible verse is what the singers were singing. That we are carrying a cross. Whatever it is, your trouble is the cross. And the bigger that trouble as the cross, the bigger the glory God is going to give to you. So when you see those people that were being persecuted in the Middle East and they were being cut their head off and they stood firm and confessed Christ, the bigger the glory. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when you see whatever you are going through, just know that God has said he is not going to allow you to be tempted above you that you are able. And he's going to make a way of escape. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. Let's stand up and praise the Lord. Let's just stand up. This will be the end of the sermon. And we're going to go into the breaking of bread in a few minutes. So just talk to the Lord. We talk about faith and doubt. And he has given us a clue that even those doubts, you can overcome it by being a lifestyle of fasting. You have to challenge yourself to some longer fast. And that will crush the doubt so that your faith can be steady. Then you have to talk about the warning that there are all those things that is going on in the life, in the world. It's like a cross. The Israelites that didn't see God in their midst, they didn't. That's why they messed up in the days in the wilderness. But we know that God is able and his word is given to us to say that all those things, they are common to man. They are common to man, but he will not allow you to be tempted above your strength, above that you are able. With the same temptation, we make a way of escape. Talk to him and say, Father, I'm trusting you. will make a way of escape for me for anything I'm going through. And he will make a way for escape. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this exhortation. I just pray, Lord God, that you burn into our heart, Lord, and teach us more yourself how to exercise our faith and how to subdue the doubt and unbelief that we try to rise up. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.